It's good to be here this morning and hope that you will continue to keep me in your prayers what time that I stand before you. Not too long ago, I asked a question at Big Harpeth Church. What was the best sermon that they'd ever heard? And I'll ask you this morning, what is the best sermon that you have ever heard? Now, I'm sure each of you probably have sermon in mind. I'm sure each of you have a message that stands out in your mind more than others. We have a sister at Big Harpeth. She's not able to attend church now, but after every morning service, when I would go back and talk with her, it never failed. She would tell me that that was the best sermon yet. I believe she meant it at the time. And quite often that's the case. The last sermon that we heard is the one that seems to be the best. It's definitely the freshest on our memory. But I want you to keep that question in mind. What is the best sermon that you've ever heard? And thinking of something that is the best is scriptural. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. So evidently, there are some gifts that are better than others. They're all good. All gifts from God are good. But apparently, there's some that are better than others. We're to covet earnestly the best gifts. Again, take careful notice of what the question is. Keep it in the back of your mind. What is the best sermon that you've ever heard? And again, we all have sermons that stand out in our mind. Some of you remember Elder Delton Skinner, Pastor Triune Church. I think one of the best subjects that he enjoyed hearing preached was the resurrection. Now, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that that was one of his favorite subjects, is the resurrection. And when a preacher would get into the stand and it was obvious that that was going to be the main theme of their message, I can remember seeing Elder Skinner just kind of set back. A smile would come upon his face, and he would just soak in every ounce of it. And it shouldn't be a surprise that the resurrection would be one of the best sermons that a person would have in mind, because if there be no resurrection, we're of all men most miserable. If there's no resurrection, then we might as well just as soon as we get out of here this afternoon, or after this morning, sir, or we could just leave now. Just pack our bags up and I could head back to Middle Tennessee. If there be no resurrection, we'd be of all men most miserable. So I can understand why that would be a favorite subject, one of the favorite subjects of Elder Delton Skinner. You might have a sermon that you have on tape that you listen to more than any others. Maybe you have worn out a tape with a particular sermon on it. No doubt that one has to stand out in your mind as one of the best sermons that you've ever heard. But what is really the best sermon that you've ever heard? There might be a sermon that you have in mind that you'd like to tell friends about. How many of us have had the experience of, in the middle of a sermon, having people come to our minds and us thinking, I wish they were here to hear this. So-and-so needs to hear that. You might have a sermon that you wish everybody in the world could hear. And you might have some particular people that you wish could hear a particular sermon. So what is the best sermon that you've ever heard? There are some sermons that I haven't heard, but I've heard a lot about them. So evidently they really stood out in many people's minds. Elder David Montgomery preached a sermon at the Rich Mountain Association one year. I wasn't there that year. From what I understand, it was one of the hottest among many hot associations at the Rich Mountain, third weekend in August. But I heard that he had preached a message on commending things to God. I've heard plenty of people talk about that. And I've heard some talk about it, that that was what they needed. That it lifted them up and made them rededicate themselves and gave them courage along the way. And though it was one of the hottest associations, that sermon stood out in a lot of people's minds. The Lord evidently was there and blessed. I didn't hear it, but I've heard a lot about it. Elder Roy Barker preached a sermon at Big Harpeth one Sunday night that stands out in my mind. The reason it stands out in my mind, it was the first sermon that I heard where salvation by grace all came together. I was sitting with my parents and I was next to Daddy. And when Brother Barker started, apparently Daddy knew where he was headed, because I remember him poking me in the side, like, "You need to listen to this." And I don't know why, but for some reason, the Lord opened my eyes. I had gone to the Old Baptist Church all my life. Mom and Daddy worked a lot of Sundays, so we didn't get to go on a regular basis, but when we went to church, it was to the Old Baptist. And for most of my growing up days, I'd be lying if I told you any different. If I had a vote on whether to go to church or go somewhere else, go rabbit hunting or go play in the soapstone gully, my vote would have been rabbit hunting or playing in the soapstone gully. I always had respect for the Lord's people and respect for the church. But there were other things that I was more interested in, just to be honest. But I began going a little bit more on my own, not being forced to. That night I went on my own. I wasn't forced to go that night. But Elder Barker started preaching about the Lord's sheep, the sheep and the shepherd. And he laid it out and the Lord just opened my eyes and I could see it. I could see what the old Baptist meant when they said, "Salvation is by grace." You've heard me say it many, many times, and I'm going to continue to say it. I don't love the doctrines of grace because it is the easy way out. I love the doctrines of grace because it is the only way out. There's no other way. If it's not by grace, then I'm lost. Brother Sam mentioned last night, hate to depend on the best 15 minutes of his life to get to heaven. You're seeing me at my very best right now. I don't get any better than what I am right now. When I go to church, I've got my best foot forward. So if you're expecting me to be better than what I am right at this moment, it's not going to happen. Now, I would like to be better, but this is the best I can muster up right at this moment. But Elder Barker preached on the shepherd and the sheep, and this old boy, eyes were open. And from that moment on, it just seemed like I couldn't get enough. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I was found. And I just couldn't get enough of that old story that's been told for thousands of years. And there's no doubt in my mind that the majority of the folks at Big Harpeth Church that Sunday night had heard that message and probably knew it by heart. But this boy here, this young man sitting out in the congregation, needed it right then. What is the best sermon that you've ever heard? Elder Sam Bryant preached a sermon at Cool Springs Church a long time ago, back when Elder Milton Lillard was pastor. It had to have been over 20 years ago. And You'll never guess what the subject was that Elder Sam was preaching on, that still stands out in my mind. The resurrection. Elder Milton Willard, I can remember him sitting over in the Amen corner. And he began to weep. The Lord was blessing Brother Sam. The Lord wasn't just blessing Brother Sam. He was blessing us. And Elder Milton Willard just could not contain himself. He sat there and just began to openly weep. And I can remember looking at him. And when Brother Sam was talking about that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us, I can remember Brother Lillard openly weeping and just pounding, just like he wanted to just leave and fly away at that moment. Now that sermon stands out in my mind. I remember it. Over 20 years later, it stands out in my mind. Elder John Robbins preached a sermon at Big Harp at that association, the Cumberland Association, one year. And he was preaching on heaven. That's a good subject. Heaven is a good subject for the Lord's people. For those that are wandering through this world and struggling, having trials and difficulties, mountains to climb. The song that stands out in my mind, that I just remember one little part of it. And the reason I remember this is I used to go to work early in the morning. And there was a radio station that I would listen to that had, it was a gospel station. And there was a group singing on there. It seemed like I'd hear it almost every morning on my way to work. And Lord, this time you gave me a mountain too hard to climb. And then another one was, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Have you ever felt that you're climbing up, but you're climbing up on the rough side of the mountain? Well, I remember John Robbins preaching Big Harpeth Church, the Cumberland Association, and he was preaching on heaven. And I remember when he started speaking about Stephen and the heavens opened up. He saw one like unto the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the brothers started shouting. And I remember that. That stands out in my mind. That was a time when the Lord was owning and blessing His people, blessing the minister and blessing the congregation. The Lord's presence was manifest. Another time at Cumberland Association, Elder Roger Rhodes was preaching. Before services, or before the preaching started, I was sitting in one Amen corner, and he was sitting in the other Amen corner. And occasionally, we would look up, and our eyes we'd be looking at each other. I could tell that he was nervous because he was called on to preach. But when he got up and began to preach, the Lord really blessed him. And he preached heaven so sweetly that I wanted to shout. I didn't, but I wanted to. And there were a lot of others that wanted to shout. And I remember that tears were in my eyes. That sermon stands out to me even today. Sermon probably lasted 30 minutes. Some of the other sermons I'm talking about probably lasted 30 minutes and no more than an hour. And whatever sermon you might have in your mind that you think is the best sermon that you've ever heard, how much of it do you actually remember? How many minutes of it? How many points do you actually remember? Now I'm going to ramble around just a little. Been rambling around just a little. But I'm going to make a point toward the end of this. Now the thing is, you don't know just exactly when I'm going to make that point. So you need to be listening. Because I'm liable to make it, and then you look up and it's done gone. But there is going to be a point to this. Jesus was the greatest preacher that has ever walked the face of this earth. Amen. Jesus preached on the new birth in the third chapter of John. And he went straight to the heart of the matter. He went straight to the heart of the problem. To a hardened Pharisee that knew the law and depended on the law. Nicodemus started out by having nice compliments to the Lord. Thou art a teacher come from God. And we know that you couldn't have done these things except God be with you. But Jesus didn't return the nice compliment. He went straight to the heart of the matter. He said, you must be born again. It's not keeping the law. It's not how good you are and how righteous you appear. He says, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus needed that message at that time. You know how I know he needed that message at that time? Because that's the message that the Lord gave him at that time. That's the best clue that that's what Nicodemus needed at that time. So Jesus preached on the new birth. In John 6 and 44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That had to have been a glorious message to those that had ears to hear, that no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So the greatest preacher that ever walked preached on the new birth. He preached on John 6:44, and in John 14, he preached in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's a wonderful message. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Wonderful message. Now I've named three messages that no doubt any of you would be very interested in hearing not only the Lord preach, but you would enjoy hearing one of the Lord's ministers preach on the new birth. On no man can come to me except the Father which sent me drawing. In my Father's house are many mansions. We would all love to hear a sermon on that, wouldn't we? But Jesus also preached in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. We'd think, oh no, not that. There has to be something else. Don't preach that at a big meeting like this. But Jesus preached that, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, which of these sermons, and not just these, but which is the best of the Lord's sermons? What sermon do you think was the best sermon that the Lord preached? Let me ask you this question. How do you measure what is the best sermon? What measurement do we use? What standards do we go by? Is it by how much of it we remember? I would say, unless you've listened to it many times, the best sermon that might have come to your mind when I asked that question might be one that you remember very little about it. But there's a few points that really stand out, but you're thinking that's the best sermon that you've ever heard. And when I say how much of it do you remember, how many of you have ever had this experience? Somebody comes back from a meeting and say, Brother so-and-so, that was a wonderful sermon. It just had everybody lifted up. And you say, well, what did he preach on? I don't remember. But I mean, we were carried to the mountaintop. I don't remember what it was. But I remember at the time it was good. Well, what's the standard that we use to determine what is the best sermon that we've ever heard? Is it by how much we remember? Is it by what lifts us up the most? Is that what we use? Is that how we measure the best sermon? Is how high we were lifted? How high on the mountain we were carried. Paul's experience on the road to Damascus must have stood out in his mind. In Galatians 1 and 15, he said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Oh, I tell you, that had to have been an experience for Paul whenever Jesus at the time when Jesus revealed himself to Paul. And it certainly wasn't because of what Paul was doing. It was in spite of what Paul was doing. But he revealed himself to him. That had to have been a glorious experience for Paul. He spoke about it. He'll tell you that that was a valuable experience in his life. But Paul also needed what he received over in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul had prayed for the stone, the thorn to be removed, and he prayed three times for it. It never was removed. But Paul heard it. The answer was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul needed the Damascus message, and Paul needed the message that my grace is sufficient. There have been times when I have experienced that what Paul said, I have experienced that to be true. That God's grace is sufficient. And that we're made strong when we need it. The best sermon that you heard probably was the sermon that you needed the most at a particular time in your life. When you were feeling sinful and unworthy, you probably needed a sermon on assurance. There have been many times when I felt sinful. There are many times when I feel unworthy. And a sermon on assurance, when I'm having doubts of myself, I need that. There are times when you're cast down. And at that time, when you're cast down, when you're very low, when the clouds are hanging overhead, you need a sermon on encouragement. When you're dying, you need a sermon on the resurrection. The best sermon that you've ever heard might not have been one that you have actually heard with your ears. The best sermon for you might have been one that you saw. We preach not just with our word, we preach by how we live and how we walk. Your best sermon might not have been one that you heard, but one that you saw. At Rocky Springs Church, Sister Frieda Hurst was in real poor health. She came to Rocky Springs Church. Elder Charles Whitten was telling us about it. Elder Sonny Huckabee was the visiting preacher. And he preached that day on that it's not bad to die. That turned out to be her last sermon. She died shortly after that. That probably was the best sermon for her. And that was one time when it was the case. The best sermon was the last one she heard. One that was about to die heard that it's not bad to die. We sing a song, "Farewell, vain world. I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. Sweet angels beckon from on high. Then, oh, how sweet to die." That could have been her best sermon. Now, remember the question? What was the best sermon you've ever heard? What's the definition of best? Several definitions. But here's what I want. Most productive of good or advantage. Most productive of good or advantage. Now, what's the definition of favorite? And we just talked about the best, but now let's listen to the definition of favorite. One that is treated or regarded with special favor or liking. Now, may I suggest that when I ask you the question, what's the best sermon you've ever heard? It just might be you were thinking of your favorite sermon. and not necessarily your best sermon. Amen. The best sermon that you ever heard was probably what you needed the most at a particular time in your life. Your favorite sermon might be one that stands out 20 years later. I have a lot of favorite sermons, if you can do that. there's a lot of sermons I like. But they might not necessarily be the best sermon that I've ever heard. May the Lord bless you.